We are starting our service a little different today, and I promise I'm not up here to preach for 45 minutes. But what we're doing is we're following the storyline of this text that we read heard a moment ago on the screens in the video, and so we're going to backload all of our worship. That's going to come. Everything is trying to get us to take a minute to sit at the feet of Jesus this morning, to enjoy His presence. And so that's where we're going with the service. And by the way, my name is Jimmy Criddle. I am the pastor here. Jacob Hawkinsmith came up a minute ago. He's our director of student ministries and works with college students for our church. And then you saw Lauren. Tom is our worship leader here. So we're grateful that you're here to worship with us today. So back into this story for just a moment. Just want to lift out a couple of verses as I bring a message to you. So Jesus has made His way to Jerusalem. He's getting really close. And on the other side of the Mount of Olives, which kind of surrounds the eastern side of Jerusalem, on the back side of the Mount of Olives is a little town called Bethany. And that's where Mary and Martha lived. And they had a brother named Lazarus. And so Jesus has made His way into that village. And Martha has extended an invitation for Jesus to come and be with them in their home. And so we read these verses. And Martha had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So today we're beginning a series, a four-week sermon series called A Day in the Life. And what I'm going to be doing is talking about four different biblical characters over the course of the next few weeks. And what we're going to do is we're going to step inside their world, a day in their life, to look at how they faced the everyday types of things that we face. Pressure, stress, struggles, failure, fear, all of these sort of things. And what we're going to discover is how everyday faith can turn an ordinary day into a God moment. And that's what we're going to see in all of these stories that we're going to be talking about. So today we enter into a day in the life of two sisters, Mary and Martha. So as I mentioned, Jesus comes to town, and what happens in their living room is about to show us what matters most when life won't slow down. What matters most when life just won't slow down? So this is one of those Bible stories that when people hear it, there are certain groups in the church that their ears perk up and they have questions. For instance, the church ladies, when they hear this story, they start whispering. The cook teams that prepare our meals on Wednesday night for us, you know, they come up here at like 2 o'clock. They're busy, busy, busy all day long preparing these meals. And I can already hear the question that them and the Flower Guild ladies, they're all asking. Is Jesus being too tough on Martha? Is Jesus being too tough on her? I mean, I get it. Martha was probably a little caught off guard by this whole situation with Jesus. It's like when a college buddy is traveling the interstate through Clinton and you get a phone call from them and they say, "Hey, dude, I'm driving through Clinton. I thought it might be a good idea if I stopped by to see you on my way through town." And you say, "Sure, absolutely. We'd love to have you. We'd love to see you." And your friend says, "Okay, I'll see you in about an hour." Click. Now, phones don't click anymore, but y'all get the picture here. So what happens after that phone call? pure chaos, right? I mean, pure chaos. I mean, you've got an unexpected friend that's about to land on your front doorstep. And so what happens on the other side of that door after that phone call, you know, there's laundry that's being shoved into the closets, you know, and you push your shoulder against it to shut the door. There's someone that is assigned with scrubbing the bathrooms, and it's like a biohazard zone in there. I mean, there's stuff going everywhere. Somebody has to make a run to Kroger because you got to have some snacks and drinks and things like that. So there's somebody rushing off to do that. The dishes in the sink, they all get shoved into the dishwasher. Thing gets maxed out again. You're trying to get it closed so that they don't see the mess. And then there's a kid you hear down the hallway that starts yelling, "Why are there so many cups in this house? I mean, cups are everywhere." And so it's chaos for the next few moments as you are preparing to have the guests. Y'all, that's Martha. That's what she's doing here. She's not doing anything wrong, but she's doing what a good host does. She's in the kitchen. She's sweating it out. She's making sure that everything is perfect for Jesus. But the more that she does, the more frustrated she gets. Now let's take a road trip. Let's go back into the Old Testament for just a minute. There's another story in your Old Testaments that oftentimes gets paired up with this story here in Luke. It's about Abraham, and it comes in Genesis chapter 18. I encourage you to read that story sometime today or this week. So we encounter this man, Abraham, and he's got his tent pitched under the Oaks of Mamre. Man, that sounds like a place out of a J.R. Tolkien book, doesn't it? The Oaks of Mamre. But there's Abraham. He's got his tent pitched under the oaks, and I visualize him sitting under the perch of his tent, and he's sipping on a glass of iced tea, or his version of that. And God shows up. It's in the middle of the day. It's hot. And these three strangers are wandering up on his campsite. Now, once Abraham realizes that this is no ordinary visit, he launches into frenzy hospitality. Because, you know, Abraham, he senses that this is a God encounter, that this is a theophany, a divine encounter. And these three strangers are representative of God. And us Christians, we hear three, and Abraham addresses the three in a singular, Lord. Well, we're like, that's Trinity language there. So Abraham, he jumps into frenzy hospitality. He tells his wife, Sarah, to bake up some bread. Now, this is from scratch. Bake it up. And you know what he does? He goes out to the pasture, Alan. He finds that good calf out there, about 800 pound, maybe a little less than that. That calf, and he slaughters it. And he prepares it for these three guys who are just hanging out under the oak trees. Now, how long does it take to bake bread and slaughter a calf and cook it? Like 6-7 minutes? Oh, I'm sorry. Some of y'all get the reference. Well, I can tell you this. It takes way longer to do those things than it does running down to Walmart for a rotisserie chicken. It takes a lot longer. A lot more work goes into baking bread and slaughtering animals and preparing it. But here's the thing. Here's the difference between Abraham's hospitality and Martha's. Abraham's busyness wasn't about managing appearances. He wasn't stressed over the details. He just launches into action, gets people working and serving. His attention was locked in on God. He was focused. This is a God moment. This is a holy moment. And he's locked in on it. He knew that there was something different about this encounter. And once you know you're dealing with God, He deserves all of your attention. You see, that's what's different between these two stories. And it begs a question of us. Do I give God the same focus when I'm in His presence? Does He get my full-on attention when I'm meeting with Him? Now back to Bethany. So Martha's in the kitchen. She's clanging the pots and the pans. But where's her sister? Where's little sister? Where's Mary? Well, Luke tells us that she's actually sitting at the feet of Jesus in the living room. Sitting at His feet. Why is she doing that? Because Mary realizes that in her presence is a great rabbi and teacher. Now, He's way more than that. But at minimum, she recognizes this is a great teacher. And this is what disciples do that are following rabbi. They sit at their feet. They soak in their every word. They're attentive. They're listening. They're learning. And that's what Mary's doing. She's not helping. She's listening to Jesus. She's taking the posture of a disciple. And this is a radical thing because she's a woman and she's doing it. She's being a disciple. She's showing all of us that Jesus is beckoning all of us to come to Him, to sit at His feet, to follow Him. And so Martha can't take it anymore. She's put out with Mary. She complains to Jesus. She says, "Lord, You tell her to help me." But Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are troubled by many things. But one thing is necessary." One thing. And here's the key. This story, I think, isn't about whether serving is good or bad. This story isn't really about hospitality. We know hospitality is always good. Work is good. Serving others, good. Jesus tells us to serve other people. So that's really, in my mind, not what Jesus is trying to draw focus to. The problem is distraction. Jesus says, "Martha, you're worried, you're upset, you're carrying all of this weight, this pressure upon you, these many things." And you know, I think about those many things. That's where a lot of us live, is amongst the many things of life. I mean, we're juggling our responsibilities. We have deadlines, kids, bills, group texts, emails, news cycle, all the socials we have to keep up with. In the transitions of life, college students coming and going right now, moving in and out. Life is busy. I mean, you had sort of like rush week at MC, so much happening. We feel like Martha or Mark, if you want to change his name. We're left scattered. We're left stretched thin. But Jesus offers us something else. One thing, He says, is necessary. In Latin, that phrase is the unum necessarium. It's a big, big Latin phrase. A lot of theologians, a lot of contemplatives have talked about this unum necessarium. This one thing. It's not that the other things in life don't matter, but only one thing has the gravity to anchor everything else in life. Only one thing can pull all of the scattered pieces of life into alignment and harmony. Do you know what that one thing is? It's God. It's the Lord. And when your soul gets focused on God, everything else finds its place. The unum necessarium. It's like having a baby. You know, for those that have had a kid, you know that suddenly your time, your money, your schedule, everything bends around this new center of love. It becomes an unum necessarium. You know, we wonder sometimes if our college kids are ever going to make it. You know, I've got a couple of college-age kids, and we were moving them this weekend around to new places in Starkville, and you know, they can't hang a TV on the wall. And I'm like, man, where did we fail here? You know, I didn't do a good job of teaching them how to use a drill and a level. I mean, are they ever going to really make it? Are they ever going to really be an adult? You know, we wonder about those things. But you know what? Something happens. There's a switch that gets flipped at some point. It either comes at the altar during a wedding ceremony, or it comes in a hospital room when you're holding that baby that you just helped bring into this world. There's like a switch that gets flipped, and everything else falls into place. Life has purpose. Yes, I have to keep a job. I got to have an income. We got to have a place to live. I got to grow up. We got to get it together. There's an unum necessarium in your life. You see, a child, a wife, or a husband, a career can give our life that kind of grounding. But here's the thing. These things are great. Marriage, awesome. Children, awesome. Grandchildren, I hear, awesome. I hope it's a long time before I have any of those. But parenting is great. A career is great. All other responsibilities, though, all of those things are secondary. There's only one thing that can occupy the thing that Jesus is talking about and that Mary has found: God. There's only one center that holds when everything else is spinning: God. And if you have God in the right place in your life, those other things, boy, they're a joy. They're a whole lot of fun. So what do we do with this? Some of us can't sit still for 10 minutes. That's me some days. We run from the moment our feet hit the floor to the moment that we collapse on our bed with our phone at night. We're doing good things, but like Martha, we miss that one thing. So here's an invitation for you today. Choose the better part. Choose. Choice. That ball is in your court. Start your day at the feet of Jesus. What does that look like for you? Maybe praying. Reading the verse of the day on your Bible app, watching the little 2-minute video, something like that. Maybe listening to a worship song. Y'all, Gateway Worship. Put that on your Spotify list, your Apple list. Gateway Worship, their album, live album, Crowns Down. Oh, I've been listening to it this week. Do something that centers you in the presence of God. It could be at the beginning, the end, the middle, maybe every other day. You've got to find space to sit at Jesus' feet. Because when your life is grounded in Him, all the other things, your work, your school, your responsibilities, they fall into harmony. So what are we going to do today? We're going to practice this. We're going to practice it corporately, which looks a little different than probably what you would do when you leave here. But today, before we rush back out these doors to the many things, we're going to pause. We're going to lay down the busyness. We're going to choose the better part, like Mary. We're going to sit at Jesus' feet. So the rest of what we're going to do in worship today is prayer and worship, singing, experiencing the presence of God in this space. And so I want to pray as we begin this next part. Would you pray with me? Lord, we imagine ourselves entering into that room at Bethany. We see you there, Lord. We notice how you look at us. There's kindness in your eyes. We sit, Lord, at your feet. You are glad that we are there. And Lord, we see Mary sitting there with us. We hear her whispering her struggles to you of what it's like being a little sister, of always being second place, always being compared. Mary shares her anxieties with you, her questions. Lord, we hear her ask you, am I enough? Do I matter? And God, we can relate to those questions. We have our own pressures weighing down on us, our own problems. So, Lord, we want to take a moment to just share our hearts with you. We hear you say something to us. Just like you said to Mary and Martha, you are worried about many things, but one thing is necessary. You are loved. You are mine. Stay here with me. Hear Jesus speak to us. So Lord, we receive your love today. And we let everything else fade for just this moment. Right here is where we want to be. We want to be with you, Jesus. We want to sit at your feet. We want to enjoy your presence. Thank you for being in this room with us this morning. Guys, thank you for joining us in worship today. I hope you've been blessed with the presence of God in your life this morning. As you go forth, receive this benediction. May the God of heaven go with you and prosper your journey with his presence and his peace. God bless you. Go in his peace.